In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome to the I Spy Radio Show, heard in 3 out of 4 corners of the great state of Oregon, in the northeast corner on KYK 1360 in the Portland Hillsboro market, in the southwest corner on KAJO 1270 out of Grants Pass, and in the northeast corner on KLBM 1450 and KBKR 1490 in LeGrand and Baker City. And of course, we can be heard anywhere in the world, thanks to all those stations streaming live. On today's show, we're taking a deeper look at the backbone of the far-left green movement, their funding mechanism. David, last name withheld, sent us an article about the Russians secretly funding environmental groups, especially anti-fracking groups. Needless to say, that got our attention. But as it turns out, with so much of the green movement, especially when it comes to their funding model, it's just the tip of the iceberg. In researching this week's show, well, we knew it was bad. We just didn't know it was this bad. But there is hope. And to talk about all that, I'd like to welcome Ron Arnold. He's Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. Ron, it's a real pleasure to talk to you today.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, and you have an extensive background writing about and really investigating the environmental left. You've got more than 300 magazine articles, numerous book chapters. You're the editor of 10 books and the author of 9 books, including the authorized biography of Reagan's Interior Secretary, James Watt, and just to name a couple of the ones here, most recently you've got Cracking Big Green to Save the World from the Save the Earth Money Machine, and then also Undue Influence, Wealthy Foundations, Grant-Driven Environmental Groups, and Zealous Bureaucrats That Control Your Future. And that last one we're going to talk especially about, that sense of undue influence of the wealthy foundations and actually outside influence as well from outside the country. And so I'm curious, though, you've been tracking the environmental movement for almost 4 decades now. What got you started? Was there something in particular that surprised you or jumped out at you to maybe get you hooked into this?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was. It sort of happened by accident. I had worked for 10 years saving my money to go into business for myself at Boeing, where I was a technical writer and illustrator, photographer, did slideshows, that sort of thing. So I started doing the same thing as a freelance, and living in the Northwest, the most likely clients would be the timber industry, road construction, other, you know, pretty nuts and bolts kinds of places. So I started writing for Logging Management Magazine and Forest Industry Magazine, things like that, and Road and Construction Magazine, but all of that sort of thing. And by sheer total accident, here I was writing all of this wonderful stuff about the great job of logging and the great job of road building people were doing. And my editor said, I want you to go to Alaska and cover the D2 lands issue. Well, what the heck is a D2 land? Okay, that was my introduction to environmentalists, and I was appalled to find out they viscerally hated everything to do with loggers. And it took me a little while to realize that that didn't just go to for loggers, any kind of development. That was really a shocker. So, yeah, there was that really kicked me off. It was appalling.
You know, I know for me what intrigues me to pursue the environmental left is this sense of collusion, their secrecy, and they've got these ever-evolving tactics and, of course, the money that is really supporting this. I mean, in a lot of ways, I feel like we're ferreting out a secret cult. What about you? Is there something in particular that has kept you motivated to follow them across your career?
Well, yes, and that is they keep getting bigger and more powerful and running the government from inside, and nobody knows about it, and stories come out about that probably the last 2 or 3 years. Almost a month doesn't go by, but some kind of this group or that group is influencing the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Environmental Protection Agency, something like that.
Yeah, it does seem like that pretty much every month, if not every week sometimes, there was something coming out about them. So in terms of, you know, you mentioned that you were really covering the logging industry back in the day. And did you see that whole spotted owl fiasco coming, or was that a surprise to you that the environmentalists were really able to essentially gut an entire timber industry?
Well, by the time that actually happened, I had enough experience. I could see it coming. One of the reasons is that fairly early in my career, in the late 1960s and early 70s, there was a big stink about enlarging Redwood National Park. And it was not really, probably the least visited in all of the United States. It was not really what you'd think of as a national park. It had a lot of big trees in it, but they're all over the place in Northern California. Well, we had some hearings in Eureka, California that I covered, and we did what we called a convoy to Congress with log trucks that stopped on Goodwill tours. Here's some seedlings for your school. Of redwoods, and they'll grow very fast. They're the fastest growing tree in North America. And, you know, the usual, let's get the kids and everybody to see, look, we're good guys. We got to Washington, D.C. with that convoy after 10 days, and we were just absolutely destroyed by the Sierra Club and other people who had gotten there before and after us. And we gave these little seedlings to every member of Congress, and they went in the next day and said, oh, see this thing they gave you yesterday? And they went crack, broke it, and said, see how fragile it is? So everything we had done, they destroyed. That was, I mean, you talk about outrageous. Yes, that kind of stuff keeps you going.
It's a good thing you weren't handing out free puppies.
well, you know, you aren't the only one that's thought about that. But yes, we were pretty steamed about that one.
Mm. You know, I'm going to take a break a little early here. We've got a really interesting article that we want to talk to you about, something that was sent to us as a heads up from David, one of our listeners. It's about the Russian influence using a hedge fund to funnel money to environmental groups. So let's go ahead and take a break right here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Ron Arnold. And thanks for staying with us. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, talking today to Ron Arnold. He is the Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. Written a ton of books and articles, and of course, we'll always make sure that we link that up on iSpyRadio.com. Just head there, and you can find links to a ton of the articles that we used to help inform us for this show. And speaking of articles, one of the ones that was sent to us by a listener talks about the undue influence of Russian foreign interests in terms of funneling money to the environmental groups. Before we get going, though, we had asked you earlier about what your entrance was to the environmental movement, and ours actually was the Energy Trust of Oregon. And again, a listener had put us on to this, and this was an organization that's at the state level here in Oregon, funded by taxpayer dollars and actually by ratepayer dollars. Everybody is, whether they know it or not, is actually funding the environmental left every time they pay their electric bill and gas bills as well. And so anyway, what we have found is we looked into that was they were essentially in an umbrella organization where they will take this money from ratepayers, from state agencies and so on, and then and they will pay out some of that to people that really replace windows or a more efficient furnace and whatnot. But it seemed to us the main priority for that organization was actually funnel money into environmental organizations that do things like they want to save the salmon, but in so doing, they want to actually take out the hydroelectric dams that are actually making all that electricity possible. So we were talking during the break. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that as kind of the foundation for how a lot of these environmental groups operate?
Well, what you're looking at there is pretty much a pattern you can find anywhere in the United States. Now, taking the dams out with the money that they're paying to do something about more electricity is just part of their no development. Now, yes. That sounds completely crazy, but these people really don't want any development, and they don't seem to understand exactly what that would mean for their own lives. And I've had I don't know how many debates with these people. They seem to be absolutely unconscious and unwilling to think about, okay, if you do that, then what happens? You don't have the electricity. Well, how would you like to live without electricity? Oh, that would be wonderful. There would be flowers in the spring and so on. I say, well, you know, in the Northwest, it's 42 degrees and raining every day. What are you going to do about that? But they don't want to talk about that. But what you're seeing there is not unique to the Northwest. It's all over the United States.
Yeah, and that is a pattern that, you know, every time it seems like we look into one of these environmental groups, they use that same pattern over and over and over again.
Yep.
And so let's talk about the article that we mentioned earlier about the Russians. And this is a Free Beacon article that exposed how a hedge fund out of Bermuda with direct ties to Russia and may in fact be funded largely by Russian oil interests, was secretly funneling money to pro-environmental groups that were in turn fighting fracking here in the U.S. And essentially, this hedge fund was money laundering for the green movement. And, you know, as we just mentioned, longtime listeners of iSpy know this sort of money funneling happens all the time, except it's usually government money in the forms of grants or studies or U.S. billionaires and corporations that fund the environmental left. But I have to say, it's a little unsettling to think that foreign interests are doing this as well. And so in terms of foreign interests undermining our industries, how widespread of a problem do you think this is?
Well, it could be pretty serious, and because it's getting the attention that it has, it's probably going to dry up those particular sources. They came from a couple of well-known Russian, you won't believe this, telecom. These are people that have television stations and internet lines and things like that, big companies, and they both are under, one of them been convicted and the other one is under criminal investigation for swindling and skimming off the top and doing various things that they shouldn't be doing. And then all of that free money that they're getting out goes to Bermuda, goes to an investment house which owns a bank and a shell corporation, which is also on the board of directors of the Sea Change Foundation in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it gets to this Sea Change, now that's SEA, like the ocean, Sea Change. And by the time it gets there, it's perfectly legal because it's gone through all of that falderol in Bermuda. And it's going to, and I've got a list here, who's getting this? The Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council, League of Conservation Voters, Center for American Progress, and there are two or three others. But I think everybody's heard of those, and they're not poor to begin with. You're looking at like, you know, over $100 million a year in just regular revenue, and a lot of it comes from big bad foundations. Nobody thinks about, you know, founding, oh, that's nice, these people give gifts away. Well, yeah, some of them are also very political, and they only give to things that are going to have social change as part of it, and we know who those are. But this is a new addition to that. See, we're not just talking about the bundles of really billions that are going into the environmental movement every year from U.S. sources. Now it's coming in. We think that it's probably in some about three of these other people that were not criminals were regular oil and gas investment firms in Russia. And we can see what they're up to. Their problem is that fracking in the United States has made the price of oil and gas go down, way down. And what do you think that's doing to the Russian economy? Because that was their biggest export.
Yep.
Well, okay, they don't want us to have all of that because we're messing up their economy, and that's not what we had in mind. We wanted to give people cheaper gas. Well, it works. And so what do you think they're going to do? They're going to try to get a little competition out of the way. Now, this is very interesting because the state-owned Russian oil company, and it's very well known, it's not really as big in it as some of the investor groups in oil and gas. And part of the reason is that Russia itself is using fracking in the biggest oil bed in the whole world, in central Siberia. And so it would be seen as being completely stupid for them to, they don't say bad things in the press about fracking, but they just, maybe one state-owned oil company, but the rest of them are owned by oligarchs and some of the, you know, their social system's not really very similar to anybody else's.
Sure.
So they got it's an old boy network left over from the KGB, really.
Yeah.
I know some of these people and have fairly good Russian sources that tell me what's on Television One. And you know, they find somebody who's protesting their oil and gas, they put them in jail.
Yeah.
And they just, matter of fact, did that once last month. Well,
wow.
You know, why don't we do that?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely right. Hey, let's go ahead and take a break right here. We're going to have more on that article talking about the Russian influence in the anti-fracking movement. Everyone stay with us. Have more with Ron Arnold. He's the Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. And thanks for staying with us. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Ron Arnold. He's the Executive Vice President for the Center for the defense of free enterprise. And so if people want to check into your organization there, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, there's two ways. Go to our website first, and that is www.cdfe.org, Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise abbreviation. And that will give you a link to our Facebook page. And or you can go straight to it. It's just called Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise on the Facebook. It's really easy to get to our website that just link to it. And you can see we keep things up pretty much day by day with news from everywhere. We've got a very large network of like-minded people throughout the United States and the world that send us stuff, particularly from the United Kingdom, Australia, other places. Oh, they voted themselves in Australia out of the climate change.
Yes, good for them.
They looked at this. They'd been doing it for a couple of years, and they thought, well, wait a minute, what's all this money for?
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're paying activists with it. Well, you know, we're not going to do that. Somebody is a lot smarter in Australia than we are.
They sure are. Well, you know, activists need Ferraris, too, so... That's important for
Lamborghinis. They don't go that for that little.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
That's true. Lamborghini, the choice of environmental activists everywhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So anyway, we've been talking about this article that was sent to us about the Russians secretly funneling money to anti-fracking environmental groups. And so the way that this worked is, you know, not just handing them money, but once these groups then have all of that money, and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. That allows them to do massive PR and marketing and lobbying efforts to claim that fracking risks things like causing earthquakes, polluting water. There was that movie that came out that was also funded by some anti-fracking environmental groups about that. You know, now all of a sudden you can light your water on fire because of fracking.
Oh yeah,
blighting the countryside and even affecting house prices. But in addition to that, this has a tremendous effect on actual real world consequences as well, because just recently on December 18th, New York's Governor Cuomo banned fracking within the state of New York. So this sort of eco scaremongering is having a real world impact.
Oh, it most certainly is. And there are a lot of people who I've talked to in mid-state New York, where most of this would be going on. They had been hoping that their economic woes, and it's a pretty poor part of New York, would be solved by being able to use their property to use fracking and bring some oil in and help pay the bills and also supply energy. No deal. Mm-hmm. And the governor didn't care about that, mostly because there's a thing called the PARK, P-A-R-K, it's a guy's name, Foundation, and it's down at the very northern end toward the lake in New York, and they have very, very left-wing, even though the guy who earned the money is dead now and gave it to a daughter who is very left-wing and doesn't care what daddy's money did. She's ashamed of what daddy did. He was a mogul, and actually he owned a lot of TV and radio stations, but I don't know what's the matter with that. But anyhow, she's very left-wing, and so she gives a lot of the money that got that lobbying job done, so the governor just really, he was overwhelmed with the pressure.
Yeah, and you know, the Russians are really just one aspect of all of this. You have a great article called The Hidden Persuaders of the Environmental Elite, and of course we'll make sure that we link that up on iSpyRadio.com. This is really a very big and highly coordinated effort in which the environmental left formed affinity groups, according to that article there. So talk to us about these affinity groups and also the influence of the Environmental Grantmakers Association.
Okay, well, an affinity group, that's a term that comes out of the philanthropy industry, and it is a big industry. About 10% of the entire American economy is nonprofit.
Wow.
I don't think people realize that. That's big. That's a substantial vote if you start thinking about it. And it's all money. That means that these people have a foundation. What a foundation really is, some very wealthy person starts out, gives a gift, usually in stock of whatever company they've been fortunate with. And then by law, they have to turn that into a diversified portfolio within a certain number of years, usually about 15, and then hand it over to professionals because they mustn't use it. It's illegal for the donor to use it for their own benefit, like to do lobbying or or education about whatever it is they got rich doing. They can't do that. Mm-hmm. So they hire it out to professional
administrators and lobbyists.
They're called philanthropoids by people outside of the industry. You know, they're all of them left wing types, and you know, they come from some fancy college, and they take money from anybody, and now they're taking it from Russia. But you know, it's interesting if you think about. Here we are. We have a president in the United States who graduated from Harvard Law, and we've got a guy that is militarizing the Arctic to get our oil, and he graduated from the KGB. Well, who's going to win that fight?
You know, we're starting to get close to a break here. We got a very full list of questions that we want to get to still, especially in terms of other examples of this at work. So everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Ron Arnold, Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. And welcome back. We are talking about the environmental left. In particular, we are talking about the funding of the environmental left, which is coming from all sorts of sources. Longtime listeners know that it comes from governmental sources, billionaires, but now also the foreign interests are having a hand in this as well. And all of that money is funneled into PR, lobbying efforts, and marketing. And to talk about all of this, we are talking with Ron Arnold. He is the Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, and of course we'll put links to his organization up on iSpyRadio.com. Tons of articles, tons of books, and all of them great information. And so we were talking about the Grant Makers Association and how they kind of worked. This is part of the affinity group, so why don't you continue your thoughts on that?
Yeah, okay. Well, what an affinity group is, just a bunch of philanthropies that have the same thing. You'll have some that are gun control. They have some anti-abortion, blah, blah, blah. Everything you can think of has got an affinity group. Well, the environment has one that kind of started by accident. Just a few leaders of foundations that were mostly devoted to environmental grant making happened to be in Washington, D.C. at the same time and said, what are you guys doing on the weekend? You going home? Well, I don't know. We can. What do you got in mind? And they had a meeting mostly to compare notes. Well, out of that, they did that again the next year, and there were about three times as many people. And they said, we got to organize this. So they turned into the Environmental Grantmakers Association, which became huge. It became so big, it began to be the tail that wagged the dog. What happened was about 1992. See, well, this first meeting was in the late 1960s, and by 1992, they had this. Organized an amphibious invasion. They were up on Rosario Island and in the San Juans here in Washington State, and took some people with me and did a little protest demonstration. You're killing our jobs and our homes and so on like that. Well, they knew who I was, but so they said, well, why don't we go over on this this place here, and anybody that wants to talk to you, this was on their lunch break, can do that. So what we did is we went over there. Only one of our people went into the room they just came out of and picked up every piece of paper that was laying around. One of those happened to be an order blank for all 24 lectures that had been sessions that they had had in their whole four-day retreat. Well, so we bought it. And we found out exactly what they were up to. Oh, if you really want a shock, that'll do it. What they were doing, this was right on the cusp of the old way of somebody says, hey, we've got this great idea. Will you give us some money? So you go to a foundation, they say yes or no, depending on what they think of it. Well, this one was the foundations got sick and tired of giving money to this group and that group because they didn't have a lot of lobbying, or they didn't have enough education, or they didn't have enough organizing, or blah, blah, whatever they didn't like. They said, we've got to start being prescriptive and telling them what to do. That the money will come with orders and performance requirements. And that's exactly what's happened, that these guys, the foundations, are really running the environmental movement. The groups that you know the names of, they're not. They're puppets on the strings of the people with the money. Now, of course, they have similar goals, so they don't mind that. They just want to make sure that they get the credit and you know their name, and they don't care if it's the Gordon Moore Foundation or the Park Foundation or something nobody ever heard of.
So then who's the one, what organization or group of people are the ones pulling those strings? I mean, is it the Grantmakers Association or somebody else?
No, it's each one of these foundations. They are in this Environmental Grantmakers Association, which is an affinity group. Now, affinity means like-minded or like-feeling. And these people all have the same left wing, no development, let's destroy everything that's capitalist, we don't like anything on the right, blah, blah, blah. Just the usual kinds of things you would expect. They're just left wingers that don't like development. Now, not all left wingers are that way. Some of them want, like the communists, and you don't have a whole lot of those, mostly because if you read Marx, you know, I've got the whole collection of 50 volumes of everything he wrote, and I even read some of it. and the theory is so abstruse, there's probably not 10 people in the whole United States could tell you what it's really about. Mm. It's very technical, very mathematical, and a lot more sophisticated than people think. But when you try to run a nation with it, it gets pretty damn simple. Pardon my language, but you just shoot people. And, and that solved the problem. What these people are doing in the Environmental Grantmakers Association is actively doing that kind of thing independently, but they get together to do strategy 4 times a year with one big retreat that's 4 days. That's the one I went to and did this little protest demonstration. And that's where they put mostly what they're trying to do really is making sure that they're not double teaming and two foundations are funding the same thing, and the environmental group, say the Sierra Club's getting rich just because they've got two people paying them for the same thing.
Yeah, this really takes us in a whole nother direction here. So that level of collusion, is there anything at all illegal about that?
Not at all. It's free country. You can say anything you want. You can give people whatever kind of money you want.
Wow. And then
it's a matter of, you know, they tell people what to do. You don't have to take their money. As a matter of fact, there's some people in Oregon that I know that are environmentalists that I'm on reasonably good terms with. And they did some neat stuff. The environmental grant makers sent three or four of their big guys and saying, wow, you did a great job. Now we're going to take it national and you'll be getting your money from this. And then you're going to do this and that and the other. And they said, the heck we are, and keep your money. Well, we'll never get another dime of philanthropy money in your life. Is it? Well, we weren't in the first place. So so what?
Wow.
But every now and then you find somebody in the environmental movement who just wants to have pure spring water, and they don't want anybody muddying it up upstream. So that's why they're environmentalists. But they're trying to sell water, bottled water. Well, and there are people like that, but not in the foundation world. There aren't. These people have an agenda, and they're going to make you do it, whether you want to or not. They think they're the best director of your life.
Wow. Interesting stuff. The puppet masters of the environmental movement. All right, let's take our break right here, and we'll have more on this with Ron Arnold, Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise and author of multiple books, including Undue Influence, Wealthy Foundations, Grant-Driven Environmental Groups, and Zealous Bureaucrats That Control Your Future. Stay with us.
Think of it as actionable intelligence, the iSpy Radio Show.
This has been a fascinating show so far today. We've been talking with Ron Arnold. He's Executive Vice President for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, author of numerous books, and we've been really talking about the backbone of the funding for the environmental left, the puppet masters pulling the strings, and really their highly coordinated efforts. And you know, it's one thing if billionaires want to spend their money and fund these environmental groups, persuade people for or against things like fracking or, you know, whatever environmental issue it is, timber, logging, whatnot. But it's quite another when these groups then turn around and influence government. And that's the scary part, because then it becomes law. And that's a whole other ball of wax here. And one of our recent interviews in 2014 was with the Pebble Mine Company up in Alaska. And this has been a group that has been facing overwhelming opposition from the EPA. In fact, they have denied the permit before they've even actually tried to file for the permit. So, and you have some insights on that. But so why don't you talk to us a little bit about how these environmental groups really collude with and work with the EPA in order to push through whatever regulations it is that they want to do?
Well, this is one of those things that answers the question, who's running the EPA? And it's not the people that are supposed to be there. One of the things that the Pebble Mine resulted in was a lawsuit by the new CEO, Tom Collier. I understand that you interviewed him.
Yes, we did.
I interviewed him. He's just a charming guy, and he's really bright. And he came from the Clinton administration. I thought,
he's
got a lefty here. He's going to destroy the whole thing. No, he's not. He was like many people at my experience with the Clinton administration was that Clinton is a politician. He actually invited me and some friends to the National Park Service to teach their all of the supervisors, every national park unit, how we felt about things and what we thought they could do better. Well, until Al Gore got hold of it, and that was the end of that. But we found that Clinton himself, he's a lot more middle of the road than people think he was. He just had a lot of people working for him that weren't. And
there's the whole Hillary thing, too, so that doesn't help.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't really work very – that didn't have much to do with what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What happened with the Pebble people is they fought back.
Yeah.
And I said, how can you do this? Most corporations don't do it. And I was talking to Tom Collier, their CEO, and he said, well, we're a single asset company. This is the only thing we've got. And we don't have, like a lot of companies, that we've got to – don't spit in the face of your regulator because they'll spit right back. Well, we don't care. We're going to take them to court. And they did.
Yeah.
And I have a copy of the lawsuit. And this is very interesting because there were three whole coalitions that were running things that the EPA should have been doing but was giving authority to unauthorized, illegal people. Mm. And that's exactly what the court said, that all they were asking for is a preliminary injunction. That just means stop it now while we have a chance to prove all of this, and then we'll prove it later at a trial. Well, a judge won't give you one of those unless he thinks you have a chance to win. And the Pebble Mine people actually entered three of these. Two of them got rejected, but one of them, the important one, got accepted because the judge said, well, you probably do have a very good chance of prevailing on the merits of this case when it goes to trial. Okay, well, they have a list of three different outfits that were running the EPA, an anti-mine coalition, an anti-mine scientists, and an anti-mine assessment team. Now, that's appalling, and I've got their names right here. I don't know. There were Trout Unlimited. They had bundles of money in it.
We've run into them here in Oregon. They were very invested in trying to pull out the Klamath Dams. They're a very deep-pocketed group.
Well, the foundations behind them include Tiffany Foundation. And the reason why is that this is a gold mine as well as a copper mine. That's
sure.
a huge copper ore, and that's what is usually thought of. But it's got a considerable amount of gold in it.
Yes, it
All
is.
All right. Well, what are things made of that you buy at Tiffany's? Wedding rings made of gold or engagement rings. And they did not want a bunch of protesters in front of their fancy New York entry saying you guys are killing fish or killing people with your blood money that you're getting from this gold that comes from the Pebble Mine.
To hear you describe that, I mean, it's almost like Tiffany's paying off the mafia. And, for protection money.
It's exactly the same thing, and but it's not illegal. Nobody's going to shoot you if you don't do it. But, they're just not going to show up at your store if, okay, here's this super-duper in-love couple. They want to get a beautiful ring. They start to walk in the door, and here's all these grubby-looking protesters with these signs that don't buy gold here. These are bad guys, blah, blah, blah. And what do you think the Tiffany's going to do? They're going to keep that away as well as they can. And so they just pay for it. It's blood money.
Yeah, blood money. Wow.
And they don't care who else they hurt, but the Nature Conservancy is part of this. National Wildlife Federation was in it. several Native associations, a whole bunch of other people, Wilderness Society, Alaska Conservation Foundation. I'm just reading down this list. These people were running the Environmental Protection Agency without authority of the government, and nobody knew. They don't now.
Yeah, and so when you say they're running the EPA, what exactly does that mean?
That means they were making critical recommendations on who EPA officials should recruit, how the agency could best leverage the Alaska Native tribes, how to formulate EPA's messaging in a way that would minimize anti-federal government backlash among Alaskans. How's that for you?
Wow.
I'm reading that out of the lawsuit.
Wow.
And that's what they're going to prove at trial.
Well, God bless Pebble Mine. We interviewed them last year, and boy, what a great organization. And I think this is really kind of the bellwether for where the EPA is right now. I mean, the fact that they seem to think that they can just go in and shut down a mine before it even starts is pretty appalling. And of course, they're trying to do that same thing now with their massive grab on water. So let's take our break right here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Ron Arnold, Executive Vice President for the Center of the Defense of Free Enterprise. Coming up, we'll be talking about what we can be doing about this. And thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show. We're in our final segment now with Ron Arnold. He's an author of multiple books and editor of another 10. And then he's also the executive vice president for the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. Been talking really about the backbone of the environmental left and their funding. And so I have to say that these leftist groups that have literally tens of billions of dollars being funneled to them every year from governmental and private sources. And now, as we learned today, from foreign sources as well. You know, I know our listening audience, and many of whom I know volunteer their time for conservative causes or for conservation causes, responsible use of natural resources, and they may be hearing this and feeling really overwhelmed at that tide of money and be thinking, how can those of us on the right ever stand a chance to fight that? So what can people be doing?
Well, there is a really good object case of exactly that what you're asking. On the Waters of the United States ruling, that's essentially a water grab and a land grab. Think about this. You know, that water is standing on something. It's a big land grab. Well, some friends of ours in Washington, D.C., in a nonprofit group that we work with, started a petition thinking, oh, well, we'll get, you know, a couple of hundred signatures. And within 2 weeks, on a petition to ditch the help me with this. Ditch the rule, and because it would, and it was kind of a pun because it would mean that even ditches would become the waters of the United States.
Yes.
Those are just stupid things like
yes.
that. And they got over 50,000 signatures on that in 2 weeks. And now, who knows that? Well, okay, we've got another opportunity to do the same kind of thing here with this pebble problem, because that is. You're talking about either criminal or civil violations that these environmentalists have been doing. And that means there is a vague chance that all of them are going to get reprimanded, and you can bet that heads are going to roll no matter how this comes out at the Environmental Protection Agency, because they've been giving the authority to people that don't have it, giving access to the to Lisa Jackson at the time, and nowadays I'm sure they're doing it with Gina McCarthy.
Yeah.
And this is going to go to court. And even Obama has to obey the courts, and his administration is not exempt from court orders. They don't obey them very much.
No.
But
I'm just going to say that.
But the public needs to know this. The courts own an enforcer court that's called the federal marshals. Who do you think owns that? The courts own the federal marshals.
Interesting.
And I do know in times when subpoenas have been listed and they wanted something, a particular people in Congress wanted some things out of the White House, so they just sent a guy with a gun over there and said, I want this. And he said, well, you can't come in. Yes, I can. And just walked in. And he had a gun, and they didn't, and so they, you know, and they had a court order in front of the gun, but he was not fooling. If he had to, he would have used violence and arms if he was resisted, and he got everything he wanted. All right, now that can happen again. We can get the same kind of we win a few of these with this Pebble mine, because they've got everything you need to know about who the bad guys are.
Name by name.
Well, you heard me reeling them off. And there were a lot of people's names. I did not use those. But all of the individuals are in there.
Yeah. And I agree with you that the Pebble mine is really kind of the touchstone here. You know, in our interview with Tom Collier, he talked about the Federal Advisory Act. How can people be using that act to help work this sort of thing through the court systems?
Well, okay, here's the deal. The Federal Advisory Committee Act is pretty obscure. Nobody's ever even heard of it. What it is, it's a government in the sunshine law that says if you get anybody to an agency that's not part of the agency and they start giving you advice or anything like that, and there's more than one or two of them, it becomes, by the nature of it, a federal advisory committee. And if you don't follow the rules, like you have to keep minutes of your meetings and announce it on the Federal Register every time you get together and stuff like that, now you're in violation of that law. So essentially what this lawsuit is that these people had de facto, that means it was in a matter of fact, they had federal advisory committee type things going on, and they weren't following the laws that those people should have to make it government in the sunshine. Nobody had a clue this was going on until all their lawyers began to dig into this and do FOIAs with the emails and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Now they know, and that's really what that lawsuit is about. They didn't do it right. They should have said, look, we are a federal advisory committee, and we're going to tell you all about it. They didn't do it.
Hmm.
That's illegal.
We got about 2 minutes here with you before we need to get going, and we've been talking a lot about these nonprofit organizations and whatnot. What are your thoughts on reforming those? Do we need to, like, for example, do we need to remove the veil of anonymity for those 501c3s and other nonprofits that allow them to hide their donors? I mean, we were talking about how these Russians were essentially able to funnel money into these environmental groups. What are your thoughts about reforming the 501c3s and whatnot?
Well, I went when I was younger and a lot stupider, and not to say I'm all that smart now. I went to a congressman that I thought would be very interested in doing that, and I said, is there some way that we could make, you know, require everybody to tell where all their money comes from? And he said, Arnold, if I did that, I'd have every church in the United States on my back. Mm. And I hadn't even thought of that.
Mm.
You know, that is a very double-edged sword. It cuts all directions.
Sure.
You can't just do it to the environmentalists. You do it to one, you do it to all. That's how this country works. The fairness is really built into that law. So that means if you want all of your friends to have to tell you where the money comes from, the law deliberately protected donors so that they don't get harassed or intimidated into not donating what they want to. That's what it's for. And, okay, it protects some bad guys. Well, it's protecting the good guys, too. No, that's not a really good way to do it. The way to do it is, like the Pebble Mine people are doing and like the group is doing with its petitions, and if you get 75,000 signatures on a petition or 100,000, I forget what it is, it automatically can go into the White House.
Uh-huh.
And the president has to notice that and put up a thing on the website of the White House, and that could make, you know, that's a pretty substantial bunch of pressure.
Yeah, that, it does.
We have a lot of us, and we have to be active out and doing all of that. If anybody's got a great idea like that, and what to call it, like Ditch of the Rule, that was great for the waters of the United States. The Pebble Mine's probably got just as good a slogan sitting out there waiting to happen.
I'm sure they do. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock here, and Ron, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and we will definitely have to have you back. A lot that we didn't cover.
That's my pleasure.
Before we go, for the record, iSpy Radio Show does not, I repeat, does not receive any funding from Russian oil oligarchs. But if you own a business and would like to reach a wider statewide audience, we'd love to talk to you about sponsoring our show. Our contact info is on our website, iSpyRadio.com, and you don't have to own a business to check out the links and information for today's show, like the U.S. Senate Minority Report on the billionaire club that funds the far-left environmental movement. Just a little fun reading for you, but very revealing. Because as always, remember that the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.